The Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening. Am I on? I am. Okay, I hope so. Welcome to worship at St. John's this evening. It is good to see you here. Special welcome to those who are joining us online. And no matter if you are, well, especially I should say, if you're here in person, please do at some point this evening take a moment to sign the Friendship Register. That is the black book at the end of every row of pews. Thank you for doing that in advance. And also, I'm actually going to remember to say it before the service for once. For our offering, if you brought one with you this evening and you would like to give it, please feel free to do so using the alms box in the back. We traditionally don't pass the plate on Thursday evenings. It's the season of Epiphany, and each Sunday in the season of Epiphany, we see Jesus revealing his glory as the Son of God, confirming that, yes, he is the promised Savior. There are these different moments that he has when that shines forth clearly, and we have another one today. But it's an unusual one because it looks like failure. But God's Word shows us today that failure, that rejection is not proof of failure. To guide our worship, we're going to be following setting 3 that begins on page 188 in the front of the hymnal. And we'll begin with our first hymn. That's hymn 517, Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness. May God bless our worship.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship today. Pastor Jordan Ertle will bring us the message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture reading from Luke Chapter 4, verses 16 through 20.
Thank you.
Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed are they whose sin the Lord does not count against them. And let us confess our sins to the Lord. Almighty and merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed what we have devised and desired in our hearts. We have offended you and sinned against your holy law. We have done those things that we should not have done, and we have not done those things that we should have done. Have mercy on us, Lord. Spare us, forgive us, and restore us according to your promises in Christ Jesus. God, our merciful Father, has forgiven all our sins. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Redeemer and Savior. Jesus paid the penalty for our guilt by his death on the cross and freed us from death by his resurrection from the grave. And so we have peace with God now and forever. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also
And let us pray. Almighty God, you sent your Son to proclaim your kingdom and to teach with authority. Anoint us with the power of your Spirit that we too may bring good news to the afflicted, bind up the brokenhearted, and proclaim liberty to the captive. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. Our first reading from God's Word chosen for this third Sunday in Epiphany, or after Epiphany, I should say, is recorded in the prophet Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 6. We are going to hear these words again today. Jesus is going to refer to them in our gospel lesson. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the afflicted. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release for those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a crown instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a cloak of praise instead of a faint spirit, so that they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord to display his beauty. Then they will rebuild ancient ruins. They will raise up what was formerly devastated, and they will renew ruined cities, which have been devastated for generations. Strangers will stand and shepherd your flock, and foreigners will be your farmers and vine dressers. You will be called the Lord's priests. You will be named ministers of our God. You will eat the wealth of nations, and you will boast about their riches. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm for today is Psalm 146a. If you'd like the music for that, you will find it in the Psalter and also in the front of the blue hymnal. 23 through 31. Here it looked like a failure, considering where Peter and John were coming from. They were coming from prison. But just listen to what the Lord turned that seeming failure into. After Peter and John were released, they went to their own friends and reported everything the high priest and the elders had said. When they heard this, with one mind, they raised their voices to God and said, "Master, you are the God who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. By the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, you said, 'Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. For certainly in this city, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and people of Israel, were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did whatever your hand and your plan had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, look at their threats and give to your servants the ability to keep on speaking your word with all boldness as you stretch out your hand to heal and as signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus.' After they prayed, the place where they were gathered was shaken. Also, everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel according to Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 30. This will be the basis for the sermon. He, that's Jesus, went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. As was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began to tell them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." They all spoke well of him and were impressed by the words of grace that came from his mouth. And they kept saying, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" He told them, "Certainly you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown everything we heard you did in Capernaum.'" And he said, "Amen, I tell you, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. But truly I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was shut for 3 years and 6 months, while a great famine came over all the land. Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in Sidon. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was healed except Naaman the Syrian." All those who were in the synagogue were filled with rage when they heard these things. They got up and drove him out of the town. They led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff. But he passed through the middle of them and went on his way. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. The congregation may be seated. We'll sing our hymn of the day, 384, "Hail to the Lord's Anointed." grace and mercy and peace, they are yours in abundance from God our Father, through our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our meditation today is the gospel reading we heard, Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 30. Your friends, it is defined as the gradual broadening of the original objectives of a mission or organization. It's when a military mission goes beyond its original scope, or to bring it home a little bit literally, it's what happens when you, for example, resolve to clean up the kitchen. But then you realize that the dish towels are in the dryer, and so you go to switch over the laundry. But that causes you to pass by the bathroom, and you see a mess on the counter. And so you wipe that mess up, and you look up, and you see about 3 weeks' worth of toothpaste spittle on the mirror. And so you go to the cupboard underneath there, and you realize, oh, we're out of Windex. And so you start making out a grocery list for the next time you go to the store. And then that becomes the thing that you're doing, right? Making the grocery list. So you go over to the fridge and you start rifling through there, finding out what food you need for the next week or two. And then that leads you to also kind of clean things out of there because, you know, there was stuff in the back that you forgot about and it's kind of moldy and disgusting now. And so you got to throw it away. So the garbage can gets all filled to the brim and everything. And before you know it, all the contents of the fridge are out on the counter. And lo and behold, there's a bigger mess in the kitchen than when you started. And all you wanted to do was just pick up the kitchen a little bit, right? It's called mission creep. And yes, mission creep is an issue for militaries, for organizations, for businesses, for parents with young kids. From the chuckles out there, it seems like maybe a few of us here this evening. But also for the church. Yet what we see and hear from Jesus today in Luke chapter 4, Lord willing, will encourage and remind and empower us to avoid mission creep. Because Jesus shows us today that the message is the mission. A couple weeks ago, we heard about Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River, and pretty soon after that, he kicked his public ministry into high gear. If you read in a few verses before the ones that we're focusing on this morning, you see that Jesus has been going throughout the towns of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and word about him was spreading throughout the whole region like wildfire, including in his hometown of Nazareth, where he grew up. Now, if Nazareth would have had a local newspaper in that day, the headline of the paper on Friday may have read something like, "Local man returning home to preach this Sabbath." So, Saturday, the Sabbath day comes, and that was the day when you got together for a day of sacred assembly, according to what God had said in the Old Testament, if you were Jewish. Go to the synagogue for church. And the worship service at the synagogue was a lot, actually, like ours are today. As a matter of fact, our worship services are actually modeled after worship in the synagogue at this time. You had some readings from Scripture, and then there was somebody called the synagogue ruler, and it was kind of his job to arrange for a rabbi to come and provide commentary on one or more of those Scripture readings. It was something like a sermon. Well, that day in Nazareth, Jesus was the special speaker. Luke chapter 4 tells us that Jesus opens up to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61 to be precise, and reads it. We heard those words a little bit ago, and yes, that is quite the sermon text for Jesus' homecoming sermon. and the anticipation in that synagogue that day was palpable. So Jesus rolls up the scroll, gives it back to the attendant, and he sits down, because in those days, rabbis actually preached sitting down, not standing up like we do today. So Jesus gets in a position to deliver his sermon, and it was short, but it was an absolute barn burner. He said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus was saying that prophecy given from God through the prophet Isaiah 7 centuries before that day was finally fulfilled on that day, in that place, in Jesus himself. He was the one anointed with the Spirit of the Lord. In the Old Testament, someone would be anointed sometimes as a sign of honor, but also if they filled a specific role or office. Priests were anointed with oil. They'd have olive oil poured on their heads. Kings were anointed with oil. They'd have olive oil poured on their heads. And many times prophets also were anointed with oil. Jesus was not anointed with oil. Jesus was anointed with something better that we hear about in John chapter 1. Where we hear that Jesus at his baptism was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. And that is why he is given the titles of Messiah in Hebrew and Christ in Greek. They both are two different words that mean the same thing. They mean anointed one, one chosen and marked for a specific task. So what was Jesus' task? To bring good news to the poor. The poor as in not the people that were without money, no, not that kind of poor, but the poor in spirit who, due to the corruption of sin, had no standing before holy God. He came to bring freedom for the captives, not people who were literally bound in chains in some gloomy dungeon somewhere, but those who were held captive by sin. After all, Jesus would later say, "Everyone who sins is a slave to sin." His mission was to release those oppressed by their guilt and the eternal condemnation that it brings. He said he came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Leviticus chapter 25 describes a custom that God directed his Old Testament people Israel to observe, called the Year of Jubilee. It would happen every 50 years. If you were in debt and had to sell your possessions to pay off your debt, in that year of Jubilee, your possessions would be restored and returned to you, and your debts would be canceled. If you actually sold yourself into slavery in an effort to pay off your debts, you were freed from that obligation, and your debt was canceled. The point? Jesus was there to deliver an eternal year of Jubilee. His mission on earth was to bring salvation from sin and death. His mission that day in Nazareth was to deliver that message, that he was the one anointed to bring salvation. So how do the folks respond? Well, according to Luke's account, it seems like they have a good initial impression, right? It says that they were astonished. They kept on talking amongst themselves about what was happening. They were impressed by those gracious words that came from his lips. But if you look closely at Luke's account of this, it seems that the folks there were more focused on the manner in which Jesus spoke and the words that he chose rather than absorb the meaning and the content that those words were communicating. And then came the dismissive questions. Isn't this Joseph's kid? Well, not only was Jesus not Joseph's son, he was so much more, which is what he was standing in front of them saying. But that was too much. I wonder if we Christians sometimes fall into the same kind of trap that the folks in Nazareth did that day. We hear God's word, right? In a setting like this, but maybe I fail to absorb the content because my mind is on other things. Or maybe what I hear, I just kind of outright reject because I don't like it. Wait, you want me to do what, Jesus? Deny myself? Yeah, sure, good one. You want me to turn away from my sin, even that favorite pet sin, that favorite vice that I have? Even the ones that I'm so accustomed to, and I do without giving it a second thought? I mean, I'll try to be nicer, but you know what? I am who I am. I act the way I act. It's just who I am. Jesus, you want me to accept that nothing good lives in me that is in my sinful nature? You want me to accept the fact that all my righteous acts that I might be so proud of are really like filthy rags? Come on, no, it feels better for me to convince myself that God loves me for me, that I am his favorite little prince or princess. Jesus, you want me to take what I hear here and actually apply it to myself and my life? Come on now, I'm just here to be mentally stimulated, to be engaged, to be entertained. Because I like the music, or I like the singing, or I like the speaker. You know, maybe I'm not so different than the people in Nazareth that day. And yes, that day, sadly, things did go south pretty quickly. Jesus knew what was in their minds. He knew what was in their hearts. And he knew that they wanted him to prove the authenticity of what he was saying with a miracle. That's the whole thing that Jesus was saying, that the saying, physician, heal thyself. Prove it, Jesus. Prove it that you have this authority to say all that stuff and to make these claims that you're the one Isaiah 61 talks about. And Jesus calls them out on their rejection. He compares the folks in the synagogue that day to the Israelites back at the time of Elijah and Elisha. When things were spiritually so bad in Israel that God actually had his prophets ministering to Gentiles and not Israelites. They were so offended that Jesus would say something like that. They got so raging mad that they took him, their homegrown boy, and drove him to the edge of the cliff on which Nazareth had been built, with the full intention of tossing him off it. And it was finally then that Jesus gave them a miracle. But it wasn't one that they would realize. If you have an angry mob surrounding you wanting to see you dead by throwing you off a cliff, do you think you're going to be able to walk right through them and they're just going to let you? Jesus gave them a miracle, but it was one, sadly, in which he would depart from them, never to return. So that's what happened in Nazareth that day. What do you say? Success or failure? Did Jesus accomplish his mission? Typically, one would probably think that having a crowd of people from your hometown wanting to toss you off a cliff means that it was a failure of spectacular proportions. But consider this. Was Jesus there that day to win approval? Was he there to pad his favorability poll numbers? To get more famous? That would have been mission creep. But he was focused on the mission. And the message was the mission. Just like it was throughout his earthly ministry. In Nazareth, he delivered it. He explicitly told them who he was. The fulfillment of messianic prophecy, like the one in Isaiah 61. And sadly, they rejected it. But that rejection is not proof of Jesus' failure. Sometimes rejection is actually the mark of faithfulness. Sometimes rejection is the mark of faithfulness. Dear Christians, learn the lesson well. And may God grant us the grace to follow in our Lord's footsteps. Because for us too, just like it was for Jesus in Nazareth that day, the message is the mission. Jesus has not put us here to win approval and to pad favorability numbers. He has not put us here to grow numerically or superficially. To emphasize those things would be to succumb to mission creep. It's not our job to convert or argue people into believing. That would be mission creep. No, our mission is the message. And what a message it is. A message of human sin and God's amazing grace. A message of warning people just like us that, yes, sin has eternally deadly consequences. And left on our own, we would be lost. That is a hard thing to accept. But not with the work of the Holy Spirit. It is a message of God's love for fallen sinners. A love so great that the Father chose to send the Son to accomplish our salvation from sin and death by giving His holy life on a cross in place of ours. It is a message of eternal victory over sin, over death, and over the enemy Satan. It is a message that brings healing and forgiveness and hope and peace, no matter the circumstance you may be facing. That message is our mission. So share it. Proclaim it. Show it. Live it. And God will work through it. Amen. Please stand. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's join together to confess our Christian faith, and we'll do that with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And the congregation may be seated. And we bow our heads in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, you delight in making yourself known to us and to others. Bring us to recognize and to rejoice in your majesty and your ministry. Because in love you chose to exercise your greatest strength to serve us in our greatest need. You called ordinary people to do extraordinary things as your disciples and apostles. You also call us confidently to follow you, diligently to learn from you, and lovingly to imitate you. Equip and empower us to serve you and our neighbor faithfully, and use us as your witnesses to bring many throughout the world to the light of your gospel. You revealed your glory through mighty signs and wonders. Assure us that you still rule all things in the universe and use them to serve our eternal good. In wise compassion, you often exercise your power to help and to heal people with physical and emotional needs. Give us courage and compassion to relieve the distress of the hurting, to pray for all according to their needs, and to be content and cheerful when, in your wisdom, you ask us to endure hardship. And hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private prayers. Preserve your truth among us, and by that truth, preserve us until you come to bring us home to you. Let our anticipation of that day ennoble our thinking and speaking, enrich our conduct, and increase our joy in all aspects of earthly life. Hear us, O light of the Gentiles and glory of Israel. Amen. A reminder, if you brought an offering with you this evening, please do leave that in the alms box in the back if you haven't already. And with that, we'll continue with our next hymn, 738, The Son of God, Our Christ. Please stand for prayer. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we pray as Jesus taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen. The congregation may be seated. And we'll close our worship tonight with our final hymn, that's 744, Rise, Shine, You People. I got a little announcement sheet. This is cool. Thanks, Lori. A couple things to bring to your attention. We have our school movie night that's scheduled for January 31st. For those school families, just FYI, doors open at 5:30. The movie starts at 6. I believe unless there are going to be issues with it, we're going to be watching the original Inside Out. We also want to do a bowling event. We did one last winter, and it was a resounding success. And it is a wonderful opportunity for school families and families from our congregation here that may not cross paths all that much to get together and have some fun at the bowling alley. So that is going to be Sunday, February 23rd at Thunderbird Lanes. It's going to be from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock, so games during that time are going to be covered. We're going to be covering soda and also pizza, but shoe rental is on you. I believe there is a sign-up sheet for that in the back. One of the things that was on my list of to-dos that I did not do was actually make an online survey to register that way. That will be coming out soon if you prefer to do it that way. Sounds like Bunko was a success because we're planning a second round of it on Sunday, February 16th at 12:45 downstairs in the fellowship hall. We're also planning a book sale in the library downstairs during Lent. So donations of books, games, and all that kind of thing are welcome. There will be a box in the library for dropping items off. And then just one item of news. I know that the email was sent out earlier this week, but just in case, just to cover all the bases, on Monday night received a call to serve as pastor at Peace in Sun Prairie. So over the course of the next several weeks, probably month, maybe even more than that, we'll be delivering that call. I would very much ask for and welcome your prayers and also any perspective that you would have that would help me deliberate. So please keep myself and my family in your prayers as we make that decision. With that, everything else that's important, check the bulletin, check the newsletter, and God's blessings on your week.
The Sunday Morning Worship Hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church, Baraboo, Wisconsin, comes to you at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo or 103.7 FM in Reedsburg. You can also stream online at max.dot.fm. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at the same time. The cable television rebroadcast of this service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Spectrum Cable Channel 10 and Antenna TV Channel 43. You may also watch the service on St. John's Lutheran Church and School's Facebook and YouTube pages at 9 o'clock a.m. on Sunday. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in 3-year-old preschool through the 8th grade. We invite your inquiries. This broadcast is made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments addressed to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street, Baraboo, will be appreciated. For more information about our congregation, visit our website at stjohnsbaraboo.org. The television program today was produced by Will Underwood. This is Brent Bailey. May God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you.
You've been listening to the Sunday Morning Worship Service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Save for God.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
Time for the Lutheran Hour, brought to you by Pastor Gerke and his congregation at Trinity Lutheran Church, 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells.
An overture to the greatest story ever told with guest speaker Dr. Leo Sanchez this week on the Lutheran Hour.
John the Baptist's work will be to point people to one greater than him. John is the living overture to Christ and his work.
Some musical overtures have become more famous than the operas they introduced. But that's not how it was for John the Baptist, who prepared the way for Jesus and heralded him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Dr. Leo Sanchez is our guest speaker today on the Lutheran Hour. Hi, this is Mark Eicher. Glad to be with you, whether you're a